If someone were to ask you, "So, what can God do for me?" how would you reply to them? What can God do for me each and every day? How would you reply to them? Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." I want us to look for a few minutes this morning about the ability of God in and through his people. There is much that God does for us, and I think sometimes we are not aware of it. We do not talk enough about it. We do not appreciate it enough. But this is a great thought, that the invisible and almighty God is working in us, his believing people, and he is working through us, accomplishing all of his purposes of his will. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, "For what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." Paul also tells us in Colossians 1:29, "To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." And he told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What does God do in us? He does so much. The sermon this morning, I'm going to have more verses than I usually have. I like to take a section of scriptures and just go down through and explain a section. But with the title of this sermon, we're going to look at a lot of different verses. I'll have most of them up here on the PowerPoints. You can follow along up there. But there is so much that God does for us. So let's look at starting by what God is able to do for us, what he's able to do for us. Well, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, we see that God is able to save us. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Friends, this is why Jesus came. This is why he came and died. Jesus, the name that means Savior, he came and died and rose again to save us. What is God able to do for us? He's able to deliver us. Daniel 3:17, "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Do we have the same confidence that Daniel had, that God is able to deliver us? Again, we fall back to that spirit of fear instead of that spirit of confidence. We have example after example of God delivering people throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he is able to deliver us also. What is God able to do for us? He's able to make us stand. Philippians 3:21, "He will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." And we learn in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And people will say, "Well, what can God do for me? Why do I need God?" Friends, the Bible, every page of it, tells us what he is able to do for us. He's able to keep us. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We are going to be attacked by Satan every day. We've got to understand that. He's going to come after us. Paul told the Corinthians about the armor that they need to put on, the spiritual armor, to do battle with Satan. But again, we need to realize that God is able to keep us. He's able to keep us from stumbling. And when we are with God, he is going to help us. In Christ, we are kept in the Father's hand so that no thief can steal us. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Nobody can steal our salvation from us. Now, we can forfeit it. We can choose to give it up by the way we live. But again, when you think about that terminology of God guarding us and Christ guarding our minds, that's a military term. It's as if we were surrounded by a number of godly soldiers protecting us. God's able to keep us. God is also able to satisfy us. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We learn from God what we are to do. His grace is going to abound toward us, and it's going to satisfy us. It's going to make us full. It's going to make us complete. And all of us know people that are searching for satisfaction out in the world. They want to go to this club or that club. They want to buy this. They want to try that. They want to put this into their mouth or into their mind. They're looking for satisfaction. None of those things are going to satisfy man. God has put eternity in our heart. And it's those things that are spiritual, those things that come from God, that is going to satisfy us. What is God able to do for us? He's able to raise us up. Hebrews 11:19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So here we see that God, when you think about when Christ rose from the dead, that showed Christ's power over death. It showed his power over Satan. It showed his power over sin. And when Christ rose from the dead, we have an assurance that we are not going to remain dead. We are not going to remain in the grave. That we are going to be raised up. What is God able to do for us? He's able to present us faultless. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So again, we looked at he's able to keep us from stumbling. He's able to present us faultless. Does that mean that we will never sin? No. We will fall short from time to time. We will go too far from time to time. But God is able, through the blood of Christ, his blood, when we have been baptized and are obedient to him and walking in the light and we transgress, his blood is going to cover those sins when we repent of them. He's going to keep us faultless. It's not that we have not done any wrong, but any charges against those wrongs that we have done, they aren't going to stick because Christ has cleared them. He paid the price. We can stand faultless before God. And friends, any one of these things that we look at that God is able to do for us is priceless. And if we have fault, if we have sin against God, what does that mean? That means God is going to turn his face from us. He is not going to look on us with favor. That means that we cannot exist in his presence and that we are going to be banished into outer darkness. Why would anybody want to be in that situation? And then people say, but what can God do for me? They do not understand God because they do not read God's word. They do not read his revelation, what he has revealed, how he has revealed his mind to us. And I think that may be one of the reasons why some people do not want to be a Christian. They don't realize all the spiritual blessings. They're looking for physical blessings. They're looking for a place, a group to have food, fellowship, music, entertainment, all of those social things. And those things are good, but they do not belong in the church. Jesus, again, is Savior. He came to save us from our sins. God is able to do all of this for us. This is just a few of the things that he's able to do for us. Let's think about what God is able to do in us. God is able to dwell in us. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Friends, God is able to dwell in us. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to dwell in our hearts. That's the throne that he wants. He wants to dwell in our hearts. He wants us to submit to him. And when we know the love of Christ, it's beyond comprehension. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. You just stop and think about that phrase. We're happy if somebody could just do something for us. God doesn't just do something for us. He does exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And where's our faith? Where's our faith? Why isn't God doing this for me? Why isn't God doing that for me? Friends, God wants to do things for us. He wants us, though, to submit to him and let him rule our hearts. What is God able to do in us? He's able to subdue. Philippians 3:21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He's going to change our bodies. You stop and think he's going to change our bodies in a couple of ways. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, we are going to be changed because we have crucified that old man. We have buried that old man. We live to walk in newness of life. We clothe ourselves in Christ. We fill our mind with Christ. We seek the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. And while we are here for such a short time, we strive to put God first in everything. And then when this body wears out or something happens to this body and our soul departs from it, we are going to receive that new body, an incorruptible body. And these bodies are not suited for heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. God is able to subdue. He's going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We have to subdue those passions that are in us, those worldly, fleshly passions. We subdue them. Can I do that on my own? No. But Christ is able to do that in me when I put on Christ. God is able to aid us. Hebrews 2:18, for in him that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Back to the last point I just made. Christ knows what we go through. He has gone through every type of temptation, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Not just three times that we read about in Matthew chapter 4, but over and over, Satan would return to him. Satan returns to all of us. God is able to aid us. When we are tempted, we have Christ that can help us. And people say, what can God do for me? What can Christ do for me? They just don't understand God. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand what this life is all about. What is God able to do in us? He's able to strengthen us. 2 Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul, writing to Timothy, talks about how the Lord was with him and strengthened him. And again, as I often say, we need to not think of God just up in heaven, but right here with us, right here with us. And until we have that concept of him, that view of him, that he's right here with us, Satan's going to take advantage of us. You stop and think you see some important person, and we were at a function not too long ago, and I saw this man. He was built like a freezer, and he was wearing glasses and an earpiece, and I looked close beside, and I knew who he was guarding. When somebody has a bodyguard, people aren't going to bother him. Friends, we have a bodyguard. Sometimes we dismiss him. When God is with us, you think Satan's going to come after us? He's not going to be as likely to come after us, but a lot of times we just dismiss our bodyguard. God is able to strengthen us. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. What's God able to do? He's able to build us up. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We need to be built up. How do we get that? Through God. Through his word, it strengthens us, it builds us. This is the ability of God. And again, we don't talk about this enough. We don't think about it enough. We don't appreciate it enough. What is God able to do in us? He's able to fill us. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We want some knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding. God can fill us up with that. What's God able to do in us? He's able to work in us. Hebrews 13:21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So what is God able to do for us? He's able to save us, deliver us, make us stand, keep us, satisfy us, raise us, present us faultless. What's God able to do in us? He's able to dwell in us. He's able to subdue. He's able to aid us. He's able to strengthen. He's able to build up. He's able to fill. He's able to work in us. And we say, what is God able to do? If we don't understand who God is and what God can do, how are we going to get the world to understand who God is and what he can do? Well, what is God able to do through us? What's he able to do through us? He's able to reveal through us, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. You see, we are the lights that shine in this world. God is able to reveal through us. He revealed his son in me, Paul speaking. When people see us, they should see God revealed in us. They should see Christ revealed in us. Again, God doesn't speak to men today. He has his word. He has us as his instruments to reveal that word to others. He's able to reconcile through us. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Why is reconciliation so important? Without it, we're lost. We're lost. You think about, when we think of reconciliation, we usually think of like a husband and a wife. They are separated, they are estranged, they are at odds. Maybe a husband and wife, maybe a father, son, mother, daughter, maybe some family relationship. And you look at it and you say, that's sad. They can't get along. They can't get along. But you think about us being reconciled to God. What's the implication? The implication is we're going to lose our soul. We are going to lose our soul and not be in his presence for eternity. What's God able to do through us? He's able to overcome. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, with God, we can overcome Satan. What's God able to do through us? He's able to bear fruit. And God, how is God going to bear fruit without us? We are his instruments. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, that was why we were created, why we were born again, to bear fruit. The final message of Jesus to his disciples in the Gospel of John, the vine and the branches. We are to bear fruit. We are to bear more fruit. We are to bear much fruit. How can we do that? We have to abide in the vine. And when we are abiding in Christ, when we are abiding in God, we will bear fruit. We will bear more fruit. We will bear much fruit. What's God able to do through us? He's able to do his own pleasure. Back where we started. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we've looked at a lot of things this morning that God is able to do for us. The question I have is, what can we do for God? You think of that list of things. 19 things that I mentioned that God is able to do for us, in us, and through us. And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But But 19 things, all of those are invaluable. And what can we do for God? The most important thing we can do for God is obey Him. He wants us to obey Him. He came again. Christ came to save us from our sins. We obey Him with every ounce of our strength and our heart. That's the greatest commandment in the old law and the new law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy might. He wants us to love Him, and when we love Him, we will obey Him. We obey Him right away, all the way, in a happy way. And that obedience also transforms us then from that old man, that old nature, to the new man. It's that transformation doesn't happen by some miracle. It happens by renewing our minds through the Word, reading what we are to do, and then not just reading, but obeying God. Obeying God, and then we are transformed. So the next time you're talking with somebody, and they say, well, what is God able to do for me? Friends, there is so many things that He can do for us. Every one of them, our eternity hangs on those things that He does. But friends, He is not going to do those things unless we are in Christ. We must be in Christ. Every example that we have in the New Testament tells us and shows us how to get into Christ. When we are in Christ, that's where all spiritual blessings are, and we can enjoy all of these benefits from God. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.